Hello, folks. It's good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. It gives us explanations about the things of life, the things of healing, divine healing, and the things of faith, Lord. And I praise you for it. Father, sometimes, Lord, you know that we go through the trials and tribulations and of our sickness or infirmities, and we don't understand. But Lord, it always falls back on us, doesn't it? Because you're never wrong. Your word says that you, by His stripes, you were healed, and I believe it. But Lord, I just thank you for these testimonies that give us great encouragement and faith, Lord, and builds our faith up to know that you'll do it. You'll always do it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, that's really what I want to give today is a testimony of a lady that happened a while back, but she was healed from birth defects. And this is the story of a long, long trial that she had. But the end result is the one we're always looking for. And I just want to go ahead and let you know that there's some of you out there that's struggling with infirmities, and you have faith, but you don't understand why you haven't been healed yet. But let me just get into the story. I hope it'll encourage you. She says, this is the story of Betty Baxter. And I was so moved by it that I thought I would give it to y'all and let you listen to her testimony. She says, as far back as I can remember, I wasn't normal like other boys and girls. My body was twisted and crippled and deformed. I guess I will never forget that awful feeling of no hope. I know how it feels to have the family doctor look in my face and say, Betty, there is no hope. Also to be carried from one hospital to another and see the specialist shake their heads and say, there is nothing that medical science can do. I was born with a curve in my spine. Every vertebrae was out of place. The bones were twisted and matted together. As you know, the nerves are centered on the spine, and the x-ray showed that the bones were twisted and matted together. Therefore, my nervous system was a wreck. And one day, as I lay in the University Hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I began to shake all over. It was sort of a trembling at first, but soon I was shaking violently from head to toe. I shook out of my bed and fell on the floor. The doctor rushed in and put me back on the bed. He said, this is what I have been expecting. She now has St. Vitus dance, and there's nothing to do but send her home. They took wide straps and strapped my body to the bed. It didn't keep me from shaking, but it did keep me from falling out of bed. They kept me strapped to the bed day and night, only removing them long enough for my nurse to bathe me. When the straps were removed, my body would be raw and blistered. I know what it is to suffer. I lived in pain. The doctors kept me on dope so I could endure the pain. When I came into the world, my heart was not normal, and under the power of dope, it grew worse. Eventually, I came to have a heart attack about every week. At last, my body became so accustomed to the dope that it couldn't take full effect. I would bite my lips to keep from screaming while the hypo took effect. And then, when the pain would not go, I would scream for another injection. Only after two or three injections could I get any relief from the torturing, racking pain. I remember the day the doctor took me off dope. He said to Mom, "Mrs. Baxter, it isn't going to do her any good. Her body is accustomed to it." And he removed everything from my bed and said, "Betty, I'm sorry, but I can't keep giving you morphine injections, and that's all I know to do." I was only 9 years old at that time. Oh, how long the nights were as I lay racked with pain. Many times I would twist in the bed, struggling for a little relief, and feel myself blacking out. And then for hours I would lay unconscious. Now, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were not full gospel as I am today. They were Nazarenes, but they loved Jesus. Mom had taught me ever since I can remember the story of Jesus. My mother believed the Bible and told me that Jesus was the same Savior today as He was when He walked the sandy shores of Galilee, and that He still heals today if people will only believe and have faith in Him. Before I go further into my story, I want to say that the greatest miracle that ever took place in my life was not when Jesus healed my crippled, twisted, deformed body, but when He saved my soul from sin. As long as I had Jesus in my heart, I could go to heaven, even though I was crippled and deformed in my body, but not if I was not saved by the blood of Jesus. My conversion happened when I was only 9 years old, after hearing our Nazarene pastor, Brother Davis, tell what he said was the greatest story in the world. It was the oldest story in the world, yet it is ever new, the story of Jesus. Beginning at Jesus' birth in the manger, Brother Davis told the beautiful story, finally ending with the cross and the resurrection. He told how, with His two precious hands, He touched the blind eyes, and they saw. How He touched the deaf ear, and it was unstopped. How He cleansed the leper. How He fed the multitude with a little boy's lunch. How His feet carried Him over the hot, blistering sands of Galilee while He preached the gospel to the people. How He walked on the water and did not sink. He told how the people, after all this, took Jesus and pierced His two precious hands with nails and thrust a spear in His side. And when they pulled it out, blood and water gushed out of His side and flowed down His limbs, the royal blood spilling on the ground. He said this blood had power to save from sin and heal our bodies from affliction today. It was the best story I had ever heard. He began singing in His beautiful tenor voice, "Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, at the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, home, home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home." And she said, tears began trickling down my cheeks. I found myself kneeling and asking Jesus to save me. As I knelt, I saw a vision of my heart, and oh, it was black. I knew I couldn't get to heaven with a black heart full of sin. And then I saw a vision on a hill far away, an old rugged cross I saw shaping up above the cross bright, sparkling letters, these words which I read, He died for you. I said, Jesus, I know that you did, and I want you to save me from my sins. And I saw before me a big door in the shape of a heart. Jesus walked up to that door and listened in. There was no knob or latch on the outside. You must open the door. Then Jesus knocked once and listened. Then the second and the third time he knocked the door. He knocked. The door flew open. Jesus walked in and I knew I was saved. I felt the great burden of sin roll off of me. Jesus is still in my heart today, because if he had gone out, I would have known it. And I told Brother Davis I was going to be an evangelist. Then he gently put his hand on my head and prayed a blessing over me. Later, he told my parents, don't ever let this girl get away from the call of God. I have never seen a child her age have such an experience with the Lord as she has. But the hand of affliction began to cut my life short. The only relief I got was through my mother's prayers. My daddy did not have the faith in Jesus to heal my body as Mom did, but he was a good dad to me and never hindered Mom from praying for me. My mother loved Jesus with a great love. I believe she understood Jesus better than anyone I ever knew. She seemed to know how to make my faith in him for him to heal me someday. My darkest hour came while they were wheeling me down the hospital corridor on a stretcher. The doctor walked up, stopped the stretcher, looked down at me and said, Betty, we have x-rayed your spine. Every vertebrae is out of place. The bones are twisted and matted together. Also, you need a new kidney. And as long as the old kidney remains, you will have pain. Dad said, no, I'm not. I am going to do everything in my power to make my child well again. But never shall a knife touch my child. I have never had an operation except the one when Jesus did the operating. And he doesn't leave any scars. How wonderful it is when Jesus does something for us. It's always perfect, and he never leaves any bad effects. Well, Mr. Baxter, the doctor said, we can never hope to untangle that mass of bones in Betty's body. Take her home and let her be as happy as possible. And I was 11 years old at that time and had no idea that the doctor was sending me home to die. I looked at him. Yes, doctor, but someday God will heal my body. I will be well and strong then. I had faith then for Mom. For Mom had read God's Word to me and talked to me about Jesus so that my faith was strong. One of Mom's favorite scriptures in those days was, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Also, nothing is impossible with God. And they took me home where the doctor said I would soon die. I grew worse, and the pain I had suffered before was nothing compared to what I began to feel after I returned home. I would go blind for weeks and could not see. I would become deaf and could not hear, dumb and could not speak. My tongue would swell and then would be paralyzed. Then the blindness would leave, also the deafness and paralysis of the tongue. It seemed I was caught. Some awful power was trying to destroy me. But each day, Mom would pray with me and tell me God was able to heal my body. I can't count the many times that for day after day I saw no one but Dad, Mom, and the doctor. As I lay there during those years of loneliness, isolated from the world, I found out one thing. Doctors can isolate you from your loved ones. They can take friends from your bedside, but they can't isolate you from Jesus. Because he promised, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it was during those years of loneliness that I got acquainted with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many people have said, Betty, why didn't God heal you when you were a little child and had such great pain? I don't know. God's ways are not my ways. God's ways are best. There is one thing I do know. During those awful years of loneliness, pain, I really got to know Jesus. He lives in the valley, my friend. He is the lily of the valley, and you will find him there if you look for him. Standing in the shadows, you will see Jesus. Mom would bathe me in the mornings, and then she would leave me. Sometimes I would hear a soft walk by my bedside and would wonder if Mom had come in the room while I was not listening. Then I would hear a soft voice that I learned to know. It was not Dad's voice. It was not Mom's voice. It was not my doctor's voice. It was Jesus speaking to me. And the first time this happened, he called me by my first name 3 times, very softly. He knows your name and where you live. Betty, Betty, Betty. He called me 3 times before I answered. I said, yes, Lord. Stay and talk with me a little while because I am so lonesome. Would he stay and talk with me? Yes, he would. He said a lot of things, but one thing I will never, ever forget. I believe the reason he always told me this was because he knew it thrilled me most. And this is what he always said. Betty, I love you. Jesus would look down upon me in my pitiful condition, so crippled and deformed that when my daddy would stand me up, I stood only as high as my little brother, my little 4-year-old brother. Large knots had grown on my spine, and the first one at the base of my neck. Then one right after the other to the base of my spine. My arms were paralyzed from my shoulders to my wrists. I could only move my fingers. My head was twisted and turned down on my chest. And when I drank water, I had to drink from a tube because I couldn't raise my head. Yet in this condition, Jesus whispered that he loved me. I said, Jesus, help me to be patient because I can do anything as long as I know you love me. Many times he whispered, remember, child, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, friend, I am confident that he loved me just as much when I was crippled and forgotten by all the world as he does right now when I am well and strong and able to work for him. I remember as Jesus stood by my bedside, I would ask him, Jesus, do you know the doctors won't give me any morphine for my pain? I wonder if you know how many sharp that pain is in my back where the knots are. And Jesus would say, oh yes, I know. Don't you remember? One day when I hung between heaven and earth, I took the pain and sickness of the whole world upon me right there. Well, as the years went by, I gave up all hope of ever being made well by a doctor. Finally, my dad came in and took my crippled body in his arms and sat on the edge of his bed. And he looked at me with big tears splashing down his rugged face. He said, honey, you don't know. You don't have the least idea what money is. But I have given up everything. I have spent all that I have and more too, in order to get you well. Betty, your daddy has gone as far as he can go. there isn't any hope anymore. He took out his handkerchief and wiped his face dry, then looked at me. He said, I don't believe Jesus will let you suffer much longer. He's going to take you to that place called heaven. And when you get inside, stand there and watch everyone that enters. Someday you will see Daddy coming through those gates. It won't be long. The doctors say it will be soon. And I want to say right here that although I had given up hope as far as man's help is concerned, I still had faith in God. One day, just before the sun went down, I was struck with such unbearable pain that I lapsed into unconsciousness. 3 hours later, my mother noticed my breathing was too slow, and I scarcely had any pulse. She called the doctor. After an examination, he said, this is the end. She will never regain consciousness. I lay unconscious for 4 days and nights. The family was called in, and they shook up the death watch, or they took up the death watch. The fifth morning, I remember opening my eyes. Mom leaned over the bed and put her cool hand on my burning forehead. I felt as if I was burning up inside. Knife-like pains were shooting through my spine. Mother said, Betty, it's Mother. Don't you know me? I couldn't speak but smiled at her. She raised her hands toward heaven and began to press in God, for she felt God had answered her prayers and given me back to her. As I lay there looking at her, I thought, which would I rather do? Stay here with my mother and daddy, or go to that place Mother has read to me about, a place where there's no pain? And I remember Mom used to say, Betty, there are no cripples in heaven. Everybody can walk in heaven. She said that in heaven there was no sickness or death, and that God took his big handkerchief and wiped away all tears from the eyes. I prayed a prayer that day that I suppose many other people have prayed. I said, Jesus, I know that I am saved and am ready to go to heaven. Now, Lord, all these years I have prayed to be healed, but I have been denied. Lord, I have reached the end of the way, and I'm not particular what you do. Please come and take me to that place called heaven. As I prayed, a thick darkness settled over me. I felt coldness creeping through my body. In a moment's time, it seemed, I was cold all over and completely surrounded by darkness. As a child, I had always been afraid of the dark, so I began to cry. Where am I? What is this place? Where's my daddy? I want my daddy. But you know, friend, there's a time when Daddy can't go with you. There's a time when Mother can't go with you. They can stand and see you draw your last breath, but it takes Jesus to go the way of death with you. And as the darkness settled about me, I saw through the darkness a long, dark, narrow valley. I went inside this valley. I began to scream, where am I? What is this place? And from a distance, I recognized my mother's voice speaking slowly. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I remember saying, this must be the valley of death. I prayed to die, and I guess to get to Jesus, I will have to walk it. And I started through this dark place. Friend, as sure as you live, every single one of you is going to die. And when death comes on you, you'll have to walk through this valley. And I'm confident that if you don't have Jesus, you will walk it in the darkest alone. I had barely got inside when the place lit up with the light of day. I felt something strong and firm take hold of my hand. I didn't need to look. I knew it was the strong and nail-scarred hand of the Son of Man who had saved my soul. He took my hand and held it tightly, and I went on through the valley. I wasn't afraid anymore. I was happy, for now I was going home. My mother had said in heaven I would have a new body, and one that would be straight instead of bent, twisted, and crippled. At last we heard music in the distance, the most beautiful music I ever heard. We quickened our steps. We came to a wide river separating us from that beautiful land. I looked on the other side and saw green grass, flowers of every color, beautiful flowers that would never die. I saw the river of life winding its way through the city of God. Standing on its banks was a company of those who had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they were singing, "Hosanna to the King." I looked at them. Not a single one had knots on their spine or a face marred and marked with pain. I said, "In a few minutes, I'm going to join that heavenly band, and the moment I step on the other side, I will straighten up and be well and strong." Now, I was anxious to get across. I knew I wouldn't have to cross it alone, for Jesus would be with me. But at that very moment, I heard the voice of Jesus, and I stood at attention, as I do when I hear the Master's voice. Very softly and with great kindness, Jesus said, "No, Betty, it's not your time to cross yet. Go back and fulfill the call I gave you when you were 9 years old. Go back, for you are going to have healing in the fall." Well, as I stood and listened to the words of Jesus, I must confess I was disappointed. I remember I said, as tears rolled down my face, "When I'm so close to happiness and health, why must Jesus deny me?" I've never known a well day in my life. Now, when I'm so close to heaven, why can't I go in? Then I thought, oh, what am I saying? Turning to Jesus, I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Your way is better than my way. I'll go back." Now, I slowly regained consciousness. Then the doctor said I would not last through the summer months. For weeks after that, I could not speak. The knots grew larger. I would hear Mom say, "Dad, look, the knots are so hard and they are getting larger. She must be suffering." I couldn't tell her just how I was suffering because the words would not come. Listen, I know what it is to be in such pain that I would bite my lips to keep from screaming with pain so that my mother could get some sleep. I couldn't tell her just how I was suffering because the words would not come. Listen, I know what it is to be in such pain that I would bite my lip to keep from screaming with pain so that my mother could get some sleep. Early summer came. Everyone in Martin County, Minnesota knew the little Baxter girl was dying. Saints and sinners alike came to my bedside. But most of the time, I was unconscious. When I was conscious, they would pat me on the shoulder, say a kind word, and pass on. But during my moments of consciousness, I never gave up hope. I couldn't speak out loud, but in my heart I said, "Lord, as soon as fall comes, I'll have healing. Won't I, Jesus?" I never doubted because Jesus never breaks a promise. Jesus is a man of His word. I kept believing He was going to heal me in the fall. That summer, on the 14th day of August, my speech returned. I hadn't spoken for weeks. And I said, "Mom, what day is it?" She said, "The 14th day of August." My daddy came in at noon. I said, "Daddy, where's the big chair? please put the pillows in it and set me in the big chair. Well, the only way I could sit in the chair was with my head resting on my knees and my arms hanging down at my sides. I said, Daddy, when you go out, close the door. Tell Mom not to come in for a while. I want to be alone. I heard my daddy sob as he left the room, and he didn't ask any questions. He knew why I wanted to be alone. I had an appointment with the King. My friend, I want to tell you that you can have an appointment with Jesus at any time you want to talk with Him, any hour of the day or night. He's ready to talk to you. I heard Dad click the door. I began to cry and sob. I didn't know how to pray. All I knew to do was merely talk to Jesus, but it got the job done. I said, Lord, you remember months ago, I almost got to heaven, and you wouldn't let me in. Jesus, you promised if I would go back that you would have healing for me in the fall. I asked Mom this morning what day it was, and she said the 14th day of August. Well, Jesus, I guess you don't count this fall yet because it's still awful hot, but Lord, I wonder if just for this one year you could call this fall and come and heal me. The pain is so bad, Jesus. I have gone as far as I can go. I can't stand the pain any longer. I wonder, Lord, if you'll call this fall and come and heal me. I listened. Heaven was quiet, but I didn't give up. I prayed differently than some people, I guess. If I don't hear from heaven, I pray until Jesus answers. I listened a while longer. When there was no answer, I began to cry again. I said, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a bargain. Now listen, Jesus, I'm going to bargain with you. Jesus, if you will only heal me and make me well inside and outside, I'll go out and preach every night until I'm 90 years old if you want me to. Listen, God knew that I was sincere. I prayed again, Lord, I'll do more than that. If you'll heal me so I can walk and use my arms and be strong and normal, I'll give you my whole life. It will no longer belong to Betty Baxter. It will be yours and yours alone. Well, I listened after I'd made these vows. This time I was rewarded. I heard the voice of Jesus speaking audibly to me. He spoke these words, I am going to heal you completely August the 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Well, a thrill of hope and expectancy swept through my entire body and soul. God told me the day and the hour. He knows everything, doesn't He? The first thought that came to me was, won't Mama be glad when I tell her? Just think how happy she'll be when I tell her. Just think how happy she will be when I tell her I know the day and the hour. Then Jesus spoke again and said to me, now, don't tell this until my time comes. I thought, well, I've never kept anything from my mother. How am I going to keep this from her? Before I got healed, I walked softly before the Lord for fear I would do something that would displease Him. I was afraid to tell my mother I knew the day and the hour. Well, after Jesus told me this, I felt like a new person. I didn't mind the sharp pains anymore or the violent throbbing of my enlarged heart. The 24th day of August would soon come and I'd have some relief. I heard the door open and Mom walked in. She knelt down on the rug and looked up in my face. I wanted to tell her what Jesus had told me, and the hardest thing I ever did was to keep from telling her. I looked at Mom. I thought, something has happened to Mom. She looks so pretty and young today. Then I thought the reason she looked so different was that I knew the secret about my healing next Sunday. I looked at her again, and I was convinced more than ever that something had happened to her. Her eyes had never shone like that before. Then all at once she leaned over to me, pushed the hair back from my forehead, and said, Honey, do you know when the Lord is going to heal you? Oh, I knew, but I wasn't supposed to tell. I couldn't say no, for I'd not be telling the truth. So I said, When? Mom smiled and said, August the 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, Mom, how did you know? Did I let it slip and tell you? She said, no. The same God that talks to you talks to me. When my mother said that, I was doubly sure God would heal my body the 24th day of August and make me well. I said, Mom, am I getting straighter yet? Are the knots going away? And she looked at me and said, no, Betty, you're getting more bent every day and the knots are growing larger. And I said, Mom, do you still believe God will heal me the 24th day of August? She said, I sure do. All things are possible if we only believe. Many people have asked how my mother knew the day I would be healed. Well, while the Lord was talking to me, the rest of the family was in the dining room eating. My mother had taken a forkful of food, and as she was about to put it into her mouth, it dropped back on the plate with a clatter. Then she heard the inner voice of God speak and say, I have heard your prayers, and I am going to reward you for your faithfulness. I am going to heal Betty, August the 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And she knows the same thing as I have already told her. So when Mom came in the room, she already knew that the Lord had told me the day and hour that I would be healed. And I said, Mom, listen to me. I haven't had a dress on or shoes on my feet since I was a little girl. I have worn these night clothes all these years, Mom. When Jesus heals me Sunday afternoon, I'm going to church Sunday night. The stores are closed on Sunday. Mom, if you really believe Jesus is going to heal me, will you go to Fairmont this afternoon and get me some new clothes? Will you, Mom? My mother showed her faith by her work. Sure, I'll go into town today and get you some clothes so you can wear them Sunday night, she said. And as she was driving away, Dad stopped her. Where are you going? I'm going to town, he said. She said, what for? He asked, well, I am going to get a new dress and shoes for Betty, she said. Now, Mother, you know we won't have to buy her a new dress until we lay her away, and let's not think about it until we have to, Dad said. Oh, no, she has had word from Jesus that he is going to heal her Sunday afternoon, the 24th, and I've had word, too. I'm going to Fairmont to get some new clothes for her. My mother brought them home and showed them to me. I thought the dress was the most beautiful I had ever seen. The shoes were patent leather, and they were pretty, and packed among my treasures in the bottom of an old chest in my mother's home up in Iowa, there lies that old blue dress right now. After my healing, I wore it until I got a hole in it where I had rubbed against the pulpit when I preached. I said, Mom, don't you think I'll look pretty when I get straight and put on this dress and these shoes? And when people came to see me, I would say, Mom, get my dress and shoes out and let my friends see them. And they looked at me, then at the dress and shoes, and then at my mother. I knew they thought strange of me, but I knew exactly what was going to happen the 24th day of August. Yeah, there's a lot of people who stand by and say, if I could only see a miracle, I would believe. But if you don't believe it before you see it, you will find some excuse after it happens. I told a neighbor of ours who was not a Christian that it was that he wanted to see me tall and straight to be at our house Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock because Jesus is going to come and heal me. He looked at me and said, listen, I want to tell you, if the day comes when I see you straight, I'll not only become a Christian, but I'll be a Pentecostal. Today he is still unsaved. Saturday the 23rd of August came, and my mother always slept in a bed in my room so as to be near me. That night when she got me all settled, I fell asleep. Sometime in the night, I awakened. The moon was shining through the window across the foot of my bed. I heard somebody mumbling, and I wondered if Daddy was in my room talking to my mother. Then I saw a form on bended knees with arm raised in the moonlight. It was Mom, and tears were streaming down her face. She was praying, Lord Jesus, I've tried to be a good mother to Betty. I've tried hard to teach her about you. Now, Jesus, I've never been away from her. But when you heal her, I'm going to let her go anywhere you want her to go, even across the stormy sea, because you're going to do for her tomorrow what no one else could ever do. She's yours, Jesus. Tomorrow is the day. You will set her free, won't you, Jesus? Well, I dropped off to sleep again. I couldn't stay up to pray, but Mom took my place. It's because of her faith that I believe in God today that I have healing for my body. Sunday morning came. Daddy took my brothers and sisters to Sunday school. They said he requested prayer for me with their broken heart, telling the people that I was much worse and was going to die if God didn't undertake. I asked my pastor to be present that day at 3:00, but he said that he had an appointment to try out for a church in Chicago, and that was the only time he could go but for us to wire him if I got my healing. My mother invited a few friends in, saying, "Be sure to get here by about 2:30 because 3:00 is the hour." They came at 2:00. They said, "Mrs. Baxter, we're early, but we know something is going to happen, and we don't want to miss it." And that's how the atmosphere they had around me when I was healed. At 15 minutes of 3, my mother came to my bedside. I said, "Mom, what time is it?" She said, 15 minutes before Jesus is coming to heal you. I said, "Mom, take me in and place me in the big chair." She carried me in and set my twisted body in the chair and propped me up with pillows. I saw the people as they knelt on the floor around my chair. I saw my baby brother, 4 years old, and I realized I was so bent that I stood only as high as he did. He knelt down by me and looked up and said, "Sis, it's not very long now until you will be taller than me." At 3:10, my mother asked me what I wanted them to do. I said, "Mom, start praying. I want to be praying when Jesus comes." I heard her sobbing and praying for Jesus to keep his promise and come and heal my body. I didn't lose consciousness, but I became lost in the Spirit of God. I saw before me 2 rows of trees standing tall and straight, and as I watched, I saw one of them in the center begin to bend until the tip of it touched the ground. I wondered why this one tree was all bent over. Then down the road I saw Jesus. He came walking through the trees, and my heart thrilled as it always does when I see Jesus. He came and stood by the bent tree. He stood and looked at it a moment, and then I wondered what he would do. Then looking at me, he smiled and placed his hand on the bent tree, and with a loud crack and pop, it straightened up like the other. I said, "That's me, all right. He'll touch my body, and the bones will crack and pop, and I'll stand up straight and be well." Suddenly, I heard a great noise as if a storm was coming. I heard the wind as it roared. I tried to speak above the noise. "He's coming. Don't you hear him? He has come at last." And then all at once, the noise subsided. All was calm and quiet, and I knew in this quietness Jesus would come. I sat in the big chair, a hopeless cripple. I was so hungry to see him. All at once I saw a great white fleecy cloud form. It wasn't the cloud I was waiting for, but then out of the cloud stepped Jesus. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. I saw Jesus. And as he came walking slowly toward me, I looked on his face. The most striking thing about Jesus is his eyes. He was tall and broad and was dressed in robes glistening white. His hair was brown and parted in the middle. It fell over his shoulders in soft waves. I will never forget his eyes. Many times when my body is worn, I'm asked to do something for Jesus. I would like to say no. When I remember his eyes, they compel me to go out into the harvest fields to win more souls. Jesus came slowly toward me with his arms outstretched toward me. I noticed the ugly prints of the nails in his hands, and the closer he got to me, the better I felt. When he came real close, I began to feel very small and unworthy. I wasn't anything but a little forgotten girl who was deformed and crippled. And then all at once, he smiled at me, and I wasn't afraid anymore. He was my Jesus. His eyes held mine, and if I ever looked into eyes filled with beauty and compassion, they were the eyes of Jesus. There aren't many people I've seen who have eyes like Jesus. When I see one who has that love and compassion in their eyes, I wish I could just stay close to them. That's the way I feel about Jesus. I want to live as close to Him as I can. Well, Jesus came and He stood at the side of my chair. One part of His garment was loose and it fell inside my chair. And if my arm had not been paralyzed, I could have touched His garment. I had thought when He came to heal me, I would start talking to Him and ask Him to heal me, but I couldn't say a word. I just looked at Him and kept my eyes on Him, on His dear face, trying to tell me how much I needed Him. He leaned down and looked up in my face and spoke softly. I can hear every word right now because it is written in my heart. He said very softly, "Betty, you have been patient, kind, and loving." As He spoke these words, I thought I could suffer 15 more years if I could see Jesus and hear Him speak to me again. He said, "I'm going to promise you health, joy, and happiness." And I saw Him reach out His hand and I waited. Then I felt His hand go over the knots on my spine. People say, "Don't you ever get tired of telling you of your healing?" No, because every time I tell it, I can feel His hand again. He placed His hand on the very center of my spine on one of the large knots. All at once, a hot feeling as hot as fire surged through my body. Two hot hands took my heart and squeezed it. And when those hot hands let my heart go, I could breathe normal for the first time in my life. Two hot hands rubbed over the organs of my stomach, and I knew my organic trouble was healed. I would not need a new kidney, and I would be able to digest my food because He had healed me. The hot feeling ran on through my body. Then I looked at Jesus to see if He would leave me just healed inside. Jesus smiled, and I felt the pressure of His hands on the knots. And as His hands pressed the middle of my spine, there was a tingling sensation like I had touched a live wire. I felt this sensation like an electric current and stood on my feet just as straight as I am on this platform speaking to you tonight. I was healed inside and outside. In 10 seconds, Jesus had healed me and made me every whit whole. He did for me in a few moments what the doctors on this earth could not do. The great physician did it, and He did it perfectly. And you might say, "Betty, how did you feel when you jumped out of the chair?" Well, you'll never know unless you once were a hopeless cripple. You'll never know unless you sat in a chair with no hope. I ran to my mother and said, "Mom, feel, are the knots gone?" She felt up and down my spine and said, "Yes, they are gone." I heard the bones crack and pop. "Betty, you're healed. You're healed. Praise Him for it." And I turned around and looked back at the chair that was empty. And tears rolled down my cheeks. My body felt light all over because I didn't have any pain. And I had always had pain. I felt tall because I had been almost double with my head on my chest. The knots were gone, and my spine was straight. I raised my arms and pinched one of them. My arms had feeling. They weren't sprayed for... My arms had feeling. They weren't paralyzed anymore. Then I looked and saw my baby brother standing in front of the chair. Big tears were rolling down his little cheeks. Looking up at me, I heard him say, "I saw Sis jump out of the big chair. I saw Jesus heal Sis." He was really thrilled. I picked up the chair, raised it above my head, and said, "See, what the God I serve can do? And standing right behind my baby brother, Jesus still stood. He looked at me from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. I was straight and normal, holding my eyes with his. He began to speak slowly, and going to tell you what he said. Betty, I am giving you the desire of your heart to be healed. You are normal and well. You have faith. You have health now. You are completely well because I healed you. And pausing a moment, he gave me a searching smile and a look. And with authority in his lovely voice, he said, now remember, every day look at the clouds and watch. The next time you see me coming in a cloud, I'll not leave you here, but I'll take you to be with me forever. Friend, he's coming back again. And that's the end of Betty Baxter's testimony. And I thought it was an awesome, awesome revelation of God's grace on our unbelieving life sometimes, you know. That's awesome. You know, if you're a Christian and you have not received healing, you need to examine your life and your attitudes in light of God's Word. God is not a respecter of persons, because that's contrary of His divine nature. So if you're still sick, there's a reason, and God's Word will reveal it to you if you will diligently seek His face. And when you find the problem, repent, correct it, and then God's healing touch is going to be yours. That's God's guarantee. And God does not lie. And the reason that stands out above all others, the reason that people don't get healed, is lack of faith. And some of you out there saying right now, I got faith. I know God is able to heal me. But why does He not do it? Well, do you believe He'll heal you now? Well, I hope He will. I know God does heal today. I've been to so-and-so's meeting and seen such-and-such healed. But when I got hands laid on me, I didn't get healed. What you got is hope. It's not faith. You hope to be healed. You have knowledge. You know God is able to heal. And He does heal. And you believe what you've seen. But you don't have faith. Faith is believing what you have not seen. Simply because God says it so. And if you had faith, you would have already been healed, brothers and sisters. Praise God. You know, Jesus once said to a man whose faith was weak, He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And what did that man say with tears in his eyes? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And what happened? Jesus helped his unbelief and his faith sprang up. He received the faith that God gives. And the thing he desired became not only a possibility, but a reality. His son was delivered from Satan's power, praise God. And if you have an honest confession of doubt coupled with a sincere desire to learn how to believe, that's a whole lot better than a loud profession of faith that don't work. It's hard to deceive yourself in this matter, and it's impossible to deceive God. You need to know that. Real faith is not hoping that God will heal you, or knowing that He is able to heal you. It's the joyful assurance that the work is as good as done, because God, who can't lie, He's already promised. Yes, He's even guaranteed it to heal you. And so I just encourage you to believe God. Keep on believing God. What, it doesn't make any difference what your eyes see or your ears hear. You know that you have been healed in Jesus' name. And you'll get through this trial and you will be healed. You already, that's the great thing about this faith that God's given us. We look back at the cross and say, I've already been healed, praise God. I ain't got to worry about this. God healed me 2,000 years ago. And that's the attitude we need to take when we have asked God to heal us. And we've commanded healing in our bodies. And that's what we do. Amen. Well, all right, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. I hope this has blessed you as much as it has me. And we'll see you next week, God willing.